Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, and welcome back to the SBU After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 21, Episode 20, somehow the finale of SVU. This episode is called The Things We Have to Lose. That's right, The Things We Have to Lose. I'm Yael Teagle. I'm with Taylor Gates.
You are. Hello.
Hello. I was like, say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Kind of. We're here in spirit together.
Yes. Yes. Before we jump into this episode, I would love to make sure everyone has the resources that they need. If you are in a situation where you need help, please reach out. Please call Rain if you need them. Their number is 1-800-656-4673, 1-800-656-4673. Taylor, what does that spell?
It spells hope, everyone.
It does.
It does.
Also, sometimes on SVU, the topics, well, always the topics are very serious, and sometimes they go very dark, and in those cases, we make light, and that is how we get through them and how we process. And we consider this your content warning before we jump in so that you're aware this may not be the show for you. Just know that going in.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Great.
There you go. there you have it, folks.
What did you think of this episode?
So Midnight in Manhattan was one of my favorite episodes of this whole season. And so I was really excited that we sort of got a part two of that. I kind of didn't realize that's what was going to happen. I thought it was just going to be, because the promo just kind of showed like Finn's case, which I was like, okay, we'll bring that back. But it was really like revisiting all of the ones in that episode, which was really exciting for me. Like I knew we would get some of Sir Toby and everything, but it really felt like a direct sequel to that episode, which I really enjoyed because I really loved that episode the first time I watched it. So
absolutely, this really did feel like a part two. It also very much felt like there is intentionally supposed to be a part three,
right?
But we'll get into that. I do see we have people in the chat. Peyton said this episode was pretty good. Lizette said I really like this episode. Peyton also pointed out that they like the fact that they brought back three cases from Midnight in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I agree. I really love that too. I think, you know, I've been saying every time they've been like, this ties into that old case and they have to make it up, I get very annoyed because like we have 21 seasons. There's
exactly.
No reason to have to make it up. So the fact that they legit just tied it back in was amazing. I also thought a really strong finale, kind of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, because I mean, I know that we were originally supposed to have like four or more episodes or something, but this worked because it did, like it brought back a lot of characters, like they were saying that we'd already met before, a bit of a cliffhanger, but also like some good tied up loose ends, some future. So I thought it worked really well, honestly. If I didn't know there was supposed to be more, I would have been like, oh yeah, that makes sense that this was the finale of this.
Absolutely. So let's jump in. I want to get the personal stuff out of the way because we have a bunch of cases to talk about. So let's talk about Kat. And
let's talk about Kat. I'm obsessed. I also, just in general, which we'll get more into it, I guess, when we talk about the plot, but I'm really liking Kat and Amanda's like little partnership and little friendship that's forming. Like, I think they're a really fun pair because they obviously were not getting along at the beginning of this season, so it's really fun that they're kind of starting to sort of bond, and I think that their personalities mesh really well together now that they sort of like have broken the ice and gotten over some of the initial like skepticism of each other.
It's funny that you say that, because I felt like this scene was A, to clarify if you didn't catch last week, if you were like confused for some reason, to clarify that Kat is queer.
Yes.
Wonderful. Claire.
Love to see it.
Yeah. And then I loved when she's like, what are you up to this weekend? Oh, sorry, you have kids.
She's so funny. Like, she's kind of savage in the way that she like was just like, oh yeah, you have children, like you're gonna be taking care of them, like I'm gonna be out partying with Gina and Gina, I'll do what I want.
I thought it was savage. I loved it. And then we had this scene just quickly at the end where Rollins is visiting Carisi. She says to him that the sketch of him looks good, that she's got a babysitter for the night. Yeah, roll those eyes a little louder for me.
I don't want it to go there. I really, really like them as friends. And that's where I draw the line. I don't want them, because we have Khaldun, who is like, who I'm rooting for to get with Rollins. I feel like they just have so much more like romantic chemistry, and Carisi and Rollins just feels so like sibling-like to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also like that he turns her down. And I kind of want to be like, great, let's end that. I almost
saw it. So it's a brain check. Well, let's just not.
Let's call it quits. It's over.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump. Well, sorry, before we jump into the plot, I have to note her shirt was see-through.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was asking him for drinks.
Yeah, no, I was like, quite forward, I would wear that shirt so, so hard.
Interesting.
All right, so anyway, Sir Toby, let's discuss this. The trial is finally happening. Barth is on her rampage saying that they're not victims, that it was consensual relationship. There's a question of what happened to Judge Barth, and Carisi says money.
But I'm interested to see where they go with that. Like, I feel like that's going to have to play a pivotal role, because they're really like, the fact that they chose Barth to do this, the fact that she and Olivia have that conversation we'll talk about later, like that kind of long conversation, like I just feel like something's gonna happen with her. Like, I feel like it was really intentional to write her as the lawyer.
I feel it's interesting you say that, because I felt like it was definitely a decision based on her career not exploding or imploding last season, but like that her she was involved in that judge's scandal with the prostitutes.
Right.
Brothel.
Yes.
And so I took it as they were like, well, she's available and that's interesting.
Gotcha. So you think this is sort of like tying her story up, like this is how she's gonna end, like as a sort of like villain, whereas I'm like, maybe she can be redeemed. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe because of the conversation that she has, I don't think she can be redeemed.
Right. Oh, I don't know. I'm just really curious. And like you said, that you think there's supposed to be a part three of this. Like, I feel like that would come into play more.
Okay. I mean, yes, it definitely felt like there's supposed to be a part three. I will say the choice to have Sir Toby not show up, and that follows the storyline perfectly, that he would continue, like ask for these continuances for his health and what, especially the story it's based on, it feels so right.
I was dying, because I'm like, the little thing at the beginning that this is not based on any person or event, I'm like, this is straight up like verbatim what happened with the Weinstein case. Like, I just thought it was so funny.
So the idea that he keeps, you know, having this heart condition be an issue, I was like, what a clever way to work around this actor being unavailable. Like, what Very a clever true. Way to be like, we hired him for one episode and he's not coming back. I don't know if that's the case. I just think it's such a clever and like believable.
Yes, because it's so timely. Like, that wasn't that long ago that was happening, like in real life case. And so I just thought it was hilarious that it was like, they are not being subtle about it. Like, it's exactly
speaking of that subtle, when Pilar is being prepped, and she's like, you know, I see these pictures of him hunched over with his oxygen tank, and I went, do you mean walker? Is it a walker?
It's just so funny. Like, I just love how similar it was.
Absolutely. So also we have, you know, during this this prep, we have Benson playing Barth. And honestly, she'd be such a good prosecutor.
I mean, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, we never really get to see her practice like this kind of thing. It's mostly just the lawyers who do that, or she's there for like emotional support. Mm-hmm. And so when she played the attorney, I was like, wait a minute, I'm kind of into this. Like, I did not into like her questioning and like being mean, but like her on the order side of things, I was kind of here for that.
I actually really enjoyed the way that, like, because I know it's not Benson, it's not a Benson move, but the way that she asked the question was so condescending that, like, yeah, that's how Buchanan would do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, she knows how these people operate, and she's like, I'm going to give them the most authentic practice that right. you can give them, so they're prepared.
Absolutely. So Pilar runs out. We then have Amelia come in. She was Sir Toby's babysitter. Her girlfriend's really worried. She's been subpoenaed. The picture comes out of Pilar with her agent, who she did have relations with. The judge asked Barth if her team leaked it. Carisi's claiming that they're harassing the victims. Then we have that scene with Benson and Barth asking her what happened. And she says he's entitled to a defense, which, like, if that was her argument, I would stand by it. Like, if her
right.
argument was, like, legally, he is entitled to a defense, and I am doing the best that I can for my client. But no, her argument is like, I have sons, you have a son.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? And I think Benson's answer of no, I can't.
I can, because it would not happen.
Right. It feels, it was a surprising answer, and it was the right answer. Like,
yeah,
I was expecting her to be like, you know, I believe women, or whatever she would have said. I wasn't expecting her to go, I can't imagine that. And I wish she would have followed up with, because I've taught my son to be better.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked that moment as well. I wrote that down as like a quote. Because yeah, it's like, what do you say to that? Cause like, you want to believe your son, but obviously you believe women. Right. So she's like, I never would have like raised him to be like that in the first place. So this right. would be an issue.
It's honestly, I wish that scene would have been expanded to include that, because every time we talk about, you know, raising children in this world and rape culture, it's always a conversation about teaching women to be aware and,
yeah.
and to defend themselves and to, you know, what women have to do. And it's not usually a conversation of teach men not to do this.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that I would have liked more clarification from Benson, but I think it was a brilliant scene. And then when she says, whatever he's paying you, it's not worth it.
Yes, that's what, I mean, that's the line that just made me think, like, I don't know, because it's just so blunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't know if that would be like, oh, wow, or if she's in too deep and she's just never going to redeem herself from that point. I don't know. I thought it was really like unexpected scene. I didn't really expect them to like, I don't know, like have that conversation, I guess.
Yeah, I would have liked something along the lines. I mean, if we're going to do a redemption or a third act to this, I would have liked, or I would like it to be that Barth is being blackmailed or like forced to do this.
Yeah, I don't think that's true though. She just seems too happy to be there.
Oh no, I don't think so either. But especially because Hadid wasn't involved. And Lizette in the chat says, I think Hadid should have been around this episode. And I agree. I think if it comes down to Hadid, you know, was asked to help and she can't because she's on the DA side. And so she forced Barth for whatever. Like, I would like that.
She's involved somehow. She has to be.
Right. So Amelia talks to Carisi. She's like, my girlfriend can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And he's like, but we're starting. It's almost over. And she's like, I'm a wreck. You don't understand. Ramona, her girlfriend, says she can't watch me destroy myself. And then we go to talk to Ramona. And she's, Carisi's like, I know you're worried about your job and your privacy. She's like, nah, like, no, that's not it. And I love that. I love when she's like, not afraid of my work finding out I'm gay. What are they going to do, fire me? Because to be fair, like, I should have such a good case.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm worried about Amelia. I love her. I didn't sign on for this, which is fair. And she's like, I know it's been 15 years. She was over it. And then she reveals that everyone knew, her mother knew, and then her mother regretted telling Amelia not to go to the police.
Yeah, that's like something I'm not confused about, but I thought was an interesting detail. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there has to be something more to that because, you know, then we have her deciding to do it. Spoiler, we didn't exactly get there yet, but right. Amelia decides she's going to do it. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll tell the jury what I told you that I didn't remember telling her. And I'm just like, I just feel like there's something there. That's a very like pointed thing to say and to include.
Absolutely. I felt like, so the next part, right, Carisi puts, it's going to trial, puts Pilar in the closet, visits Amelia in her closet. Why everyone's in the closet, I don't know. But I think we set up so much of what's going to happen at trial to not show us the trial is
exactly.
Like, it's like we've got
to see it eventually.
Yeah. So he points out that if they run into other witnesses, you can't even talk to them, even your mom, which reminded me a lot of, was it last week where the witnesses saw each other and were like,
oh yeah, that was last week. Stop.
So anyway, Sir Toby misses court because he has a heart episode.
He has a heart episode or a heart attack. Get your story straight.
And Carisi is like, I have witnesses that have been standing by for months. To be fair, like the law says that he is entitled to a speedy trial, not that the witnesses are. Just
true.
Carisi should know that law. Carisi points out the judge said if need be, he should be brought in on a stretcher.
Yeah, I liked that judge. He's like, well, he better be on death's door.
Yep. Nice. So at the end of the case, Benson says he's not going to get away with this, and Chris says he already has. Will we see this case go to trial? I don't
know. Have to.
I thought he would die by the end of the episode.
Me too, because we have the moment where Pilar's like, I wish he was dead. I was like, there we go. He's going to die then, I feel like. I don't know. I thought that was some foreshadowing.
I thought when we had Benson looking up at the screens that was going to be like dies before trial.
Oh, that'd be interesting too.
But nope, just still in the hospital.
Heart episode.
Let's move on to Ivy Bucci.
Yes!
So although Sir Toby did not return, this is the return of Grace Narducci as Ivy Bucci. So she's out all night. It's almost noon. I was like, girl, you want her to believe she's been studying overnight until noon?
A lot of books to hit.
Yeah. So Ivy's been grounded. She goes missing. Her mom goes, gets Rollins to help her find her. She finds her. Her mom says after gets killed himself and her father went to jail, Ivy's been in a downward spiral. I do appreciate the filling in of like, here's what's happened.
Right, because if you like accidentally missed one week, well, you would be like in trouble if you tried to watch this episode.
Yes. So Rollins talks to some guy who's in a photo with Ivy. He didn't know she was 16.
I loved Rollins in this episode. I just want to say I loved her in this episode, especially like doing this case. I don't know why. I just thought she was so great in it, especially when she was talking to that guy. I was like, oh, you invited a 16-year-old to your brother's bachelor party? Like, I just thought she was so threatening and so good.
I agree. I think this was really fun to see her, like, be the teen, the mom of the teen.
Yeah.
And he says to the guy, wear something comfortable. If she doesn't show, you and your cowlick are spending the weekend in the tomb.
So good.
So Rollins tells Benson she's going to pick her up. Benson's like, because you're the only one who could save her. I do like that we're back to them trusting each other and being on good terms.
Yeah.
I really love that. So Rollins arrests Ivy. I like that the guy's like, they're hers. The drugs are hers.
Yeah. Well,
like, I guess they're yours.
Yeah. I thought that was a great scene.
Yes.
Sorry
you were saying something?
No, I think I got ahead of myself.
All right. So Ivy spends the night at the station. Rollins asks Benson if she's too close. She suggests that she learns to practice tough love. Girl, where was this when Kim was around? Practice tough love with Kim.
Right, right. Very true.
I hope that the next time Kim is around, she remembers all of this.
You know she won't.
I know she won't.
I'm so sorry. It's just not going to happen.
So Ivy and Ivy's mom and Rollins talk. Your behavior has to change. She's smart like me. She pushes the boundaries of the mom. I wanted to punch her in the face.
She's the worst. Like, she's just consistently awful.
Absolutely. Peyton in the chat says, I hate the fact that Rollins had to be a mom towards Ivy because her bio mom is a trash parent.
I loved it though, because I thought it was so fun to see this side of Rollins, because usually Rollins is like kind of the hot mess. And so it was great to see her, like, because I mean, Olivia in like the earlier seasons, I feel like, was very much this character sometimes.
Yes.
So I thought it was cool to see Rollins take it on.
So Ivy promises, I'm going to turn this around. So then she gets arrested for doing coke with a 35-year-old douchebag.
Casual.
I really like that the cop who's bringing Rollins in is like, she asked us to call you. Are you the stepmom? She knew right away to say that you were on the job. And honestly, I do appreciate, because if I knew cops, I would also be like, call this person. You know? That girl's smart.
A very good friend that's working right now.
Right. Rollins is like, she's out of chances. Maybe spending the night's gonna be good for her. I'll be back for you in the morning.
Yeah. I loved it. What a savage move.
I mean, yeah, do that. We then hear her shouting, what, so I'll learn my lesson. We know that's not gonna happen. We know that I'm only good, there's only one thing I'm good for. At this moment, I wanted Rollins to turn around and like sit her down and have a talk to her, you know. Like,
I thought that's what was gonna happen. Now she needs that tough love, I guess.
Yeah, but you can tough love by like leave her in there, but first sit her down and be like, no.
Right.
What do I know? I'm not a parent. So Benson asks Ron, she's like, you left her in a whole thing all night. Yep. She's like, I checked with the desk sergeant every hour. She says, if this is what it's like to have a teenager, I'm not going to be ready. Yeah.
True.
You chose to have two.
And girl, you know this kind of streak runs in your family too. Look at you. Look at Kim. You're really not ready. Is the thing.
I love it. So Ivy's facing prison time. Rollins gets to speak on her behalf. She points out that she was trafficked by Getz. Cooperated with the DA's office until his suicide. Her father went to prison. She's a victim, and asked for no more punishment. And the judge is like, fine, you can have rehab. And then the mom is like, how much is that going to cost?
Girl, make it work.
I was like, what? No. So funny. Peyton in the chat says, Ivy should just go into foster care. And when the mom was like, how much is this going to cost? I was like, correct. She should be taken away, her and the little sister.
Oh, just so, ugh. She's just the worst.
Yeah.
Always has been. Oh, I wanted to say, which yes. I mentioned earlier, but I really liked in this little storyline too, that we had Rollins like be really self-aware and ask Olivia, like, am I getting too close to this? Like, do you want to work on it? Do you want to take me off of it? I thought that was just a really mature move for her. To not be like, no, I have to do, like, we have to, it has to be me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just really liked how she was reflective enough to be like, maybe I'm getting a little bit too tied up in this.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of old Benson cases where she would question if she was too close.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really self-aware move that we haven't really seen Rollins do a lot.
Growth.
Bro.
So let's move on to Lakira, who is again the return of B. Cordelia. Yay! So Lakira's back. I will say, I do like that she didn't say the word moms once.
Yeah.
Noted, this felt much more authentic.
Yeah.
So Lakira's ready to call it a night, but her colleagues are still working. That's what my notes say, colleagues. Dakota then is assaulted. Our favorite nurse was back as well.
Do love him.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the actor Stephen Wallum. Don't know how to say names.
Love you, dude. Hope you come back.
Yeah, so Lakira calls Kat. She thinks it's Paul Davies, who's the guy from that episode from Midnight Manhattan. The nurse says that Dakota's been put into a coma. There's evidence of assault. Lakira's like, Davies was on the piers. She's sure that it's Davies. I love that Kat then fills in Benson.
Yeah.
Kat is also growing.
Yes.
She says Dakota's in a coma. I think it was Davies. It's the same guy who attacked Lakira. Benson's like, slow it down. And tells her that she needs to get enough for a warrant and put him at the scene before she talks to him.
Right. And also, doesn't she mention that she's kind of like called Kat a few times since then? And it's been sort of a like, not false alarm, but like a different person or something too?
She says that she's called her before, but it sounds like that she's seen him, but not that necessarily he did anything.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting because it's like, it's, I think that she's taking extra caution because it's like, okay, like you've warned me about this before, it turned out to be nothing. Like, we need to really, really make sure then until we kind of jump the gun.
Absolutely. So Kat's watching Davies's place. He approaches her. I was like, Kat, but also such a like early day Benson move.
Absolutely.
He claims that he was at the piers, but he was on a walk. He's trying to get his family back. Kat's like, we have witnesses. And he's like, who, Lakira? She backed down before, so you got nothing. Dakota doesn't make it, and the doctors won't tell Lakira anything because she's not family. Lakira feels incredible guilt for not testifying before and not putting him away.
Yeah.
I know that like this was a really great and tender scene, and I feel like it could have been expanded upon as well. Mm-hmm. Because there definitely, you know, when you're not ready to come forward or to testify, you will, if something happens to someone else, you will feel this guilt, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish Kat could have said something, even if it was just like, you know, you're not the only one to feel this way.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So Kat finds Davies going into the gym and coming out in different clothing without a bag. So he must have thrown it away. I loved that the custodian was like, I kept it in case he wanted it.
Right. I thought that was really great too. And it was so smart to ask like him for help.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. I didn't expect it to go sort of that way.
I thought it was going to be that he stole it. And he was like, I didn't mean to. And they were like, you're fine. Like, we're good.
Me too. Yeah, 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 me too. But he was like, these people just throw stuff away. If they get one stain on it, like, right. I'm going to ask for it back. I'm gonna just make sure that he has it if he wants it back.
Right. What a good guy.
He really is. Give him a promotion. Jeez. Seriously.
So the DNA matches the blood on the suit and under Dakota's nails. Benson tells Kat to call Carisi for the warrant to pick him up. Then Kat reveals that she did speak to him. I loved this.
I did too. It was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, where Rob's like, you're going to write her up? And she goes, no, but it won't hurt to let her worry about it.
I was like, that is so harsh, but so funny and true. I just think that's so evil in such a like funny way.
I mean, it reminds me of when the video with, what was his name? The video that Rollins got undercover that then Baby Dodds released to the press. And then he told Benson, and Benson never told, well, didn't tell Rollins until he died, that she knew that she didn't do it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. And I feel like Rollins should understand that.
Yeah, for sure. I just thought it was so good. It's like, well, no, but I mean, she can worry about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Lizette in the chat says, I feel like they're trying to make Rollins the new Olivia. They've been doing that for years. And Peyton says it's kind of messed up that Dakota had to die just so her friend would finally testify against Davies. Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not disagreeing.
How it went, though.
In the end, Kat goes to Dakota's vigil, sees Lakira, and is optimistic, and tells Lakira that Carisi is optimistic. And then Lakira is like, they believe us.
That moment just made me emotional. Yeah. Because it's like, it gave me like chills, because it's like, oh, that's really happy, but also like so sad that they ever had to question that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really liked that line and liked that moment a lot. And I also just really like Kat and Lakira's friendship, and I would love to see that continue, even if it's not like revolving around a case. Like, I just think it would be fun to see Lakira make some like sweet cameos in BFFs with Kat.
Yeah, I would love it if Lakira became like, you know, one of her informants, like her eyes on the street, the way Finn used to always go back to his old informants from when he was.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be great. Speaking of Finn, let's talk about the other story in this episode. Something's happened. I love how much happened.
Me too. It's crazy. It felt like they packed so much. And it was so tight, which I loved. Like, all the stories were so tight, which I really appreciated.
Yep. So this one has the return of Afi Bijou as Joelle. So Finn is visiting Joelle to tell her that Leon is out. Apparently he has a split sentence. That's 6 months in and 6 months in a halfway house. But the order of protection is still in effect. It seems that Leon's been sending gifts to Andre, including notes to Joelle. Finn wants to take the note to his parole officer. She says no. So Finn meets Leon at the bus station as he gets out and tells him to stay away. He also says she doesn't know I'm here. She didn't put you away. I did, and I'll do it again.
Oh, I love how protective Finn is over Joelle, but especially Andre. Like, I really like that.
Yeah. I agree. So apparently Leon showed up at the playground like he was doing nothing wrong.
And he gave Andre a soft serve. I thought that line was so, like, a soft serve. Like, who says that? Why would you say ice cream?
Because there's a difference.
He gave Andre a soft serve.
Taylor, there's a difference between ice cream and a soft serve.
But who says soft serve?
I don't know. I'm going with New Yorkers.
No, I don't even think.
Girl, whatever. All right, so Andre is safe, and Finn's like, I'm going to call his parole officer. And she's like, no. And I think that her argument here makes sense. She says, Andre's seen him.
Right.
And I get that. The idea that he's seen him and sees that he's free, you can't send him back. That said, he should be sent back.
Yeah.
So she's like, why don't you give him a warning? Finn's like, I already did. And she says, that's why he's so pissed off. She says, I handled him for 10 years. He knows not to hurt me again. Stay out of our business.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. One, he's not staying out of your business. You called him. And two.
Exactly.
And two, he's not going to hurt you again. Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's Finn's job. Like, he can't just be like, oh, okay, I'll look the other way. Like, he has a duty to like see this out and help you,
right? It also, you know, not to jump ahead, but at the end when she's like, you could just go, and he's like, no, I can't
though. Yeah.
So Finn gives Andre a phone. This scene was incredible.
It's so good. I love Finn with like children. So such a cute, I do, he's had such a good like energy with them. Like, he's so tough, but he's so soft for kids.
Mm-hmm. He says, you know, we're talking man to man. He says, this phone is not for calling your friends or for playing games. My number's on speed dial. If you're ever worried about your mom or scared, you call me. And then I loved this moment. So then Andre calls Finn as he's picking up Davies, and he comes over, and Leon is holding a knife to Joelle. He says, we don't need you here. Then he suggests that Finn slept with Joelle. I was like, what? What?
Okay. Make it make sense.
Yeah. explain your thought process.
Yeah.
So Leanne calls Andre over. Andre, for whatever reason, comes to him. He throws Joelle and raises the knife, and Finn shoots him. Incredible.
Yep. Honestly. Do we blame him though? Like, do we blame him? No.
No.
I mean, Joelle does, but I don't personally. Right.
I think what was surprising to me was that Finn didn't call for backup when he went.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me.
He was just so laser focused, I think. And he's just like, I don't have time for that. Like, I just have to get there as soon as I can before something bad happens.
Yeah, I feel like on his way, he should have called for backup. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was time between Andre calling and Finn arriving.
That's true. You put on speakerphone in the car. The call.
There's a thing right. in your car.
It's very easy.
It was surprising. I expected to see, like, at least when he shot, to see other cops run in or to see that other cops were on the way, to hear sirens, anything, because it does feel like the case is going to go somewhere because he was alone.
Oh,
right?
100%. Yes, for sure.
So Benson reminds me he has 48 hours to give a statement. He should wait till he has a union rep and a lawyer. And Finn says no child should ever see their parents shot. As soon as he shot Leon, I went, oh, this is 100% paralleling his life where he saw his mother shot.
Yep. So heartbreaking.
And then in the end, Joelle is filing a lawsuit against Finn for wrongful death.
I'm honestly really worried because the only witness that we have then is Andre.
Right.
And Joelle, obviously, but she's pretty biased against her own, what she's trying to do. Right. Oh, I'm so nervous.
I really did love the way that this played out. And I can't wait to, like, see where that goes. Because, like, Finn now has to deal with, we've never had Finn deal with these kind of consequences.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like the only times he stepped over the line was when Lake needed help and he, helped him escape when Lake was being accused of murder.
Taking you guys to Red Lobster.
That is Lake, yes. Different episode.
The only thing that you need to know about Chester Lake.
That's so funny. That's not true. What you need to know is that he doesn't sleep and he knows the sounds of the city.
loves Red Lobster.
Yes, he does love Red Lobster. Zach in the chat says, I feel as though Finn sees himself in Andre. Such a great moment when he gives him a phone. Absolutely. I really enjoyed that and I can't wait to see where that happens.
Agreed.
That's what happened in this episode. So much. We do a poll here every week.
We sure do.
But we will not be doing one this week, or did you already have it set?
No, because you see, for me to give you the results, it's gonna be
months.
A minute. So I figured that we would just start fresh next season. But I do have the results from last week's poll. And of course, last week we had the moment where Rollins gets promoted to second grade, whatever that means. Cool.
Yep.
But I asked what your favorite promotion was. We have Cat to Team coming in fourth with 3.1%, which is offensive because I
so sad
thought that that would be higher because Cat is one of the best new characters we've ever had on the show. We have coming in at third place with 11.5%, Finn to Sergeant. True, Finn didn't really care that much, so I guess no one else cared that much. Second place, we have Rollins to second grade with 18.1%. I think a lot of people really just enjoyed that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. And then, as a surprise to no one, I don't think, we have Olivia to Catherine coming in at number one with a whopping 67.4%. We also had a lot of good answers in the comments.
Yeah, we did.
Amanda, A.E., Dama, that was the username. Munch to Sergeant and has to fill in for Kragan and absolutely hates it. Agreed.
So I loved that.
The one deleted scene, this is from Josephine O. March, the one deleted scene where Elliot moves up to first grade and Liv moves to second, also when they become marshals. Those are great. Those are pretty old school.
I just have to say, them becoming marshals, absolutely. I will not accept your deleted scene answer.
That's fair. Is it canon? Is it not canon?
Here's why it's not canon. I have to say this.
I'm ready.
Because early on in season, I want to say two or three, I want to say it was two because I have the box set. So I want to say in season two, there's a deleted scene where Benson finds out who raped her mother. And that scene was deleted. Therefore, we could have the whole Walter Burlock storyline. And then we could have the storyline where we meet Simon. And so had that been canon, then you couldn't have accepted the other two. So I do not accept those promotions.
That's very fair. And then we also have Ash saying Olivia to Captain, also because there's a bonus Carisi to the DA's office and that. Yep. That's a lot of fun because he's been working towards it forever, obviously. Hillary said all of them, each was deserved in their own right. Agreed. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of other people said they felt like a proud mom when Olivia got to Captain, and so happy for Roland because it's been so many years, which, yes, it certainly has been.
Wow, I'm so glad that poll was such a success.
I know. Thank you guys there was like 227 votes, which is awesome. So yes, love that. Thank you for making your voice known to us.
Yeah. So we're not going to do another poll, but I thought perhaps, I'm not making any promises, over the summer, we might do some favorite episodes.
Yes.
So why don't you tweet at us your favorite episodes that you'd want us to cover.
Does everyone tweet me babes? Because we know it's the best one.
Yes, but also let us know which episodes you want us to cover. There are literally 20 seasons, but we started the SVU After Show in season 16, I believe. So you have 16 seasons to choose from, and we have done some here and there. So please tweet that us. I have no news. There were no deleted scenes. We all know which headlines were ripped from and weren't this week.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the season finale of the SVU After Show.
Yeah. Oh, craziness.
Yeah.
My favorite episode of the season.
Well, I'm really glad we got to do this and continue doing the season with wonderful AfterBuzz for making this possible.
Yes.
And Taylor, where can everyone keep up with you and tell you your favorite, the favorites they want us to cover this summer?
Yes, definitely tweet me at alphabet_Anne, and you can also find me on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_.
Awesome. I want to give some shout outs to people in the chat. I said we had Peyton and Lizette and Zach, and I know Audrey was here. Thank you all so much for joining us live in the chat. I am Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. Starting tomorrow, I have relaunched my Twitch channel, so you can check out new content there. twitch.tv/YaelTeagle. Again, YAELTYGIEL. And we'll see you next season. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.